Welcome to The Impossible Promise, a Christmas story. Now, it's often been said that Brenda is an angel. You can say that and be acknowledged as an angel. And this morning, she gets to formally play that part as she takes the role of the angel Gabriel. I shall narrate, which means that we need you guys to play all the other parts. It should be obvious when you need to do or say anything because it will come up on the screen. One of the things you'll be doing is that there'll be a lot of booming in the story. This happens whenever God does something seriously amazing. So when you see this sign, all you need to do is to throw your hands in the air and shout, boom!
Boom!
Perfect. Let's all have a go. And when you see the boom sign, you just need to go, boom! Wonderful. So, for our older listeners, are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin. Boom! Just like that, out of nowhere, there he was, an angel. And Mary was terrified. Maybe it was the suddenness of his arrival. Maybe it was the shock of the surprise. Maybe it was because he was no fat baby with wings, but a bright, shiny, otherworldly creature sent down from the throne of God. Or maybe it had something to do with what he said.
Hello, favoured one. God is with you.
Mary was simply a young woman from a little town called Nazareth, in the region of Galilee. She had never expected anything like this to happen to her. What did the angel mean? What was this all about? She was confused and troubled, to say the least. And the angel, Gabriel, understood that.
Don't be afraid. This is a good thing. God is pleased with you and wants to do something amazing for you. So here's what's going to happen. You will give birth to a son called Jesus. He will be great. In fact, he will be called the Son of God.
It was the promise. The promise to Eve of a child to crush the serpent's head. The promise to Abraham that through his family, God would one day bless the whole world. The promise would finally come true. And it sounded amazing. But Mary had a practical question. Very practical. By the customs of her day, she was legally promised to be married to a man named Joseph. But they hadn't had the wedding yet. So she asked, quite rightly, this is where you need to play your first real part. You're now all Mary. But I am a virgin. Let's try that again. You're a bit scared. You've got the angel Gabriel talking to you. And so this is what you're saying. This is your response. But I am a virgin. How will I give birth to a son? And quite rightly, Gabriel gave her an answer. A mysterious answer, guaranteed to surprise her even further.
God's Holy Spirit will come upon you. His power will overshadow you. So your son will be holy too, the Son of God. It sounds incredible, I know, but your cousin Elizabeth is having a baby. She's 6 months pregnant, in fact. And as you know, she is well past childbearing age. For God can do anything, even something but everyone else thinks is impossible.
So all of the Marys in the congregation at Stoke Green replied, "Then let him do this impossible thing for me. I will be his servant and do what he has asked." And with that, just as suddenly as he had come, the angel disappeared. Boom! Boom! Just like that, out of nowhere, it was the last thing that Joseph wanted to hear. Mary, the woman he had promised to marry, was expecting a baby. And there was no way the baby was his. What could he do? She had broken her promise, broken the legal engagement that her family had made with him. And worst of all, she'd broken his heart. He could have embarrassed her and made a big deal out of what she had done. But Joseph was a good man and a kind man. He decided to end their engagement, but to do it quietly. Before he could put his plan into action, however, boom! He had a visit from an angel as well. The angel came to him at night in a dream.
"Joseph, don't be afraid to marry Mary. She has not been unfaithful to you. The baby she is expecting is there by the power of God's own Holy Spirit. She is going to give birth to a son, and God wants you to call him Jesus. For just as that name means, he will rescue his people from their sins."
When Joseph woke up, he did exactly what the angel told him and took Mary as his wife. But then, just like that, boom! Another surprise! The Roman ruler Augustus wanted to find out how many people were in his vast empire. So he ordered everyone under his control to return to their hometown to be counted. Joseph was from Bethlehem, the town where King David had once lived. So he and Mary had to travel way down south to be counted in the census. It was 90 miles or so. So, for those that can't quite understand about 90 miles, that's even further away than London. It's like right the other side of London. And despite what you may have seen in your school nativity play, they probably had to walk. Sorry to little donkey. It can't have been easy. When they arrived, they needed a place to stay, but so did all of Joseph's other relatives. And by the time they got to Bethlehem, all the nice upstairs rooms where families usually kept their guests were full. So Mary and Joseph had to stay in a downstairs room where the animals were kept for the night. And there it was, among the animals and the straw, that Mary gave birth to Jesus. So she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger. We pray together. Lord, help us to be like Mary, who answered when you asked. Help us learn to give and serve, no matter what the task. Lord, help us to be like Joseph, a man both kind and just. Help us listen when you speak, and teach us how to trust. Nearby, in the hills outside of Bethlehem, there were shepherds guarding their flocks of sheep. The night was still. The stars were shining. All was quiet, apart from the odd sleepy bar. This always one. And then, boom! The angel appeared again, and the light that surrounded him surrounded the shepherds too. It turned the night bright as white and gave those shepherds an almighty fright.
Don't be afraid. The news I bring you is good, and it will fill everyone who hears it with joy. Today in Bethlehem, in David's city, your Saviour was born. That's right, the Messiah, the one God promised you, the one you've been waiting for year after year after year. He's there. And this is the sign that points to him. So you will know for sure that you've found him. Look for a baby wrapped in cloths fit for a newborn, lying in a manger.
And when the angel had said that, boom! A sky full of angels joined him. A crowd, a multitude, a heavenly host. And like an otherworldly choir or flash mob sent from heaven, they shouted out their praises to God. You're now all angels. Glory to God who reigns on high, and peace to those on earth who please him. Then away they went, as suddenly as they had appeared. And the shepherds, still shaking, said to one another, God has told us this amazing thing. Let's go to Bethlehem and see. So off they went, hurrying, running, racing to the place the angel had revealed to them. And there was Mary, and there was Joseph, and there was a baby, just like the angel said, lying in a manger. So the shepherds told Mary and Joseph everything the angel had told them about the baby, how he was the Messiah, God's long promised one, finally come to his people. And Mary kept those words like treasure in her heart to wonder and to ponder over in the days and weeks and years to come. Then back to the hills the shepherds went, praising God for all that they had seen and heard. No longer quiet, no longer still, but shouting and singing like angels. Shouting and singing like angels, remember? Thank you, Lord, for angel songs that shout aloud the Saviour's birth. Show us how to live in ways that sing again of peace on earth. Are you ready?
Boom!
Boom! And one more. Boom! And another one. Boom! The wise men knocked on the door of the palace of Herod, king of the Jews. And when they were admitted and when they stood before him, they gave him news that landed like an explosion. Sandwich on his ears. Can you tell us, please? Oh, this is where everybody is. Can you tell us, please, where we can find the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star rise in the night skies, and we have come to worship him. It was all King Herod could do to keep from exploding with rage. He was the king of the Jews, and he had murdered anyone who had tried to take his throne, including members of his own family. The wise men, of course, had no way of knowing this. They were not Jews themselves. They were from another country, far away, east of Jerusalem. For God wanted everyone, everywhere, to know about Jesus, to bless the whole world, just as he had always promised. King Herod sent the wise men away to have a cup of tea. And immediately he gathered every priest and scribe and expert that he could find. Then he asked them one question, and one question only, in your nastiest, sneeriest, most revolting Herod-type voice. Where do our holy books say that God's long-promised Messiah will be born? In Bethlehem of Judea, they answered, for the prophet Micah says that even though it is just a little town, out of Bethlehem will come one who will be a ruler and a shepherd of his people. King Herod called the wise men back, and in his most sneery and conniving and sly voice said, search for the child, and when you have found him, come back and tell me exactly where he is, because I want to worship him too. That was a lie, and King Herod knew it. He only wanted to find the child so he could kill him. The wise men didn't know that, so off they went, following that star to Bethlehem. And when it stopped and rested above a house, they knew they had found the place. Jesus was no longer a tiny newborn baby. No, he was a little toddler, living with Mary and Joseph in that house. And when the wise men, they fell on their knees before him and worshipped him. Then they gave him precious gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, gifts fit for a king. And when their visit was finished, did they return to King Herod and tell him where the baby was? No, they did not. For in the night, God spoke to them in a dream and told them of the king's wicked plan. Boom! So, in the morning, avoiding the palace, they returned home by another way. Let's say together, Lord, help us be like wise men, following your lead, looking for your guidance in every word and deed.
I think we've had a great time celebrating the Christmas story. We do it every year, and we do it for a reason. These events don't stand on their own. No, they are part of a much bigger set of events that link back to the beginning of everything and forward to forever. They link back to the creation of the world when God made men and women to love him and each other and the world he created. And they link back to the promise that God made to that nation, that one day he would send them a king, like their best king, King David, to set up God's own kingdom for everyone on earth. Jesus, The baby born to Mary fulfilled all these promises, just as the angel said, descended from King David. He was God's own son, sent to crush the power of evil. But that was just the beginning of the world-changing event that was his birth. For it links forward to the grown-up Jesus who healed the sick, fed the hungry, and welcomed the outcast to show what life in God's kingdom was like. It links forward to his death, where his sacrifice defeated the power of evil by taking away the shame, the guilt, and punishment for every wrong thing that anyone would ever do. It links forward to his resurrection from the dead, where he paved the way for our resurrection. It links forward to his ascension, where he reigns at God's side. And it links forward to the coming of his Holy Spirit, who lives inside everyone who follows him and helps them to live like he did. And finally, it links forward even further still through 2,000 years of history to you and to me, and then beyond to eternity, when God will make a new heaven and a new earth where he will be our King forever. Amen.